good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Yeah, there was some frustration when you looked at this market today, and the only thing that ended up really mixed was the lean hog complex, though the nearby May, which we don't really talk about, saw some positive numbers on the day, but a lot of negativity. And just from the text messages I got from a few of you out there, there is just that negative feel out there and a lot of questions as to why is there so much red. We're going to find out what's been going on in this grain complex, and believe it or not, there is a silver lining amongst all of this, and we're going to find out what's going on. Jeff Peterson joins us. Jeff, of course, is with Heartland Farm Partners. So let's talk about this weakness. What are you seeing in the corn and the beans and the wheat today?
Yeah, it has been an interesting day of trade, Susan. And, you know, we dig into it. You know, we've got July corn down 2.5, which actually I really look at as kind of a win based on everything else that we had going on. You know, we had weakness showing up in soybeans on the July, down about 19. Bean oil was weaker, down $1.04, and down a couple dollars on the soybean meal. Chicago wheat actually wasn't a downside leader like we've seen here in the past. That was down about a nickel. Kansas City down on the July, down 15. The May was down 21, and then over on the Minneapolis down 5. But let's just kind of dig into this and think about it. So big picture, here's the situation. Currently, we've got, as of Friday's trade, a commitment to traders report, which tells us the fund positions. You know, corn, they're short about 242,000 contracts of corn, 151,000 contracts of soybeans, and about 71,000 contracts of wheat. So down the road, we still think they're going to be a buyer of some of those additional, you know, contracts that they shorted earlier. But, you know, so that's setting out there. And then we come in, and the thing we kind of forget about sometimes is that this is first notice day. And that's basically where individuals, if they're short, you know, futures, they can physically say, hey, I'm going to put physical quantity. If I've got corn, I'm going to deliver corn against my contract. And basically anybody who's long has to take that. And there was some, I would say, above normal amounts of contracts that were delivered. There was 533 contracts of soybeans, about 222 contracts of soybean meal. One of the big surprises that put a lot of, pressure in the soybean market was there was 2,101 contracts of soybean oil that physically were delivered on. And when we saw that, that brought some weakness in, brought weakness into soybean oil. And as a result, that put also a lot of pressure, and we saw that over on the soybean side. Then moving over to the wheat side, you know, the wheat has been an interesting market to watch. That market has been very strong. You know, it ran up all the way across the complexes, the Chicago, the Kansas City, and the Minneapolis. You know, the market took off, hit their 100-day moving averages, you know, a few days ago. And when that happened, we saw the funds buying back a lot of those positions. Because we don't talk about a lot, but that 100-day moving average is really important in regard to the fund position. You jump back up above it, and you see the funds really want to get out of the shorts that they're in. And if they're physically down below it, they're more willing to go ahead and sell it. Market quickly ran up, though, came all the way up across all three complexes to that 200-day moving average from a technical side, and just continued to run into some selling pressure as we got up into those areas. And when we hit that area, the market did reverse, and then we've seen a sell-off happen. Started first on the Chicago side, then spilled over into Kansas City. The other thing I would note is that the Chicago wheat did have a little bit heavier deliveries also, 1,151 contracts. Now, Susan, across the board, I would say all those deliveries were heavier than what the market was expecting. And as a result, that did put some pressure on this market. Now, as we go forward, though, I do think we're going to be able to digest all of that news. And I think we've got some more positive things down the road. It's just, we're just going to have to bide our time a little bit, Susan.
Well, you know, you talk about all this pressure, Jeff. So why are we seeing the pressure from the soybean oil perspective?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because as we dig into that soybean oil side, actually, we'd have to go from a price perspective. We'd have to go clear back to the week of January 25th of 2021, since we are this low on the price. And if we think about it, what's been happening is that we've been ramping up the basically the crush capacity, as we've seen come out in the NAPO reports each month on, you know, where are we at in crush. Each month is a new record, and this basically the March number was a new record for the month, and it was also a new record overall for the highest amount of crush, turning soybeans into soybean oil and soybean meal that we've had so far. But then what was interesting, the February numbers from EIA, that's the Energy Information Administration, they reported the February numbers in the amount of basically soybean oil that got put into our biofuels, which is predominantly renewable diesel, but also could be biodiesel, about 888 million pounds. Now, that was down from 960 million pounds the month before. And actually, it was the lowest amount that was used in the biofuel side going all the way back to December of 2022. Now, what's interesting about that, it comes back to just price. Tallow and yellow grease actually were seeing an increase in the inclusion rates in there. So really what it's telling us is we ran into a point here, we've got enough soybean oil out there in order to get more mixed in, more to use more to make our renewable, you know, energy products, our biodiesel and renewable diesel, we had to bring the price down. And that's really what we've seen. And that's spilled over here and put some weakness in the soybean market. And meal had a really good run yesterday. But then with the deliveries that it had, you know, we kind of backed off here today. But I still think, even having said all that, I still think we've got a little more strength coming on that soybean complex. We just got to give it a little bit more time, Susan.
Well, stick around, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about where we go forward with this planting, because we know that there is rains over the weekend in a wide swath. There's more rains that hit yesterday and even more that are expected later tonight. So is that going to have much of a concern? Or is this really going to be looking at a market, weather-related market moving forward? We'll also talk about the funds. Speaking of weather, we'll head to South America to find out what's going on there. And we'll also look about where we're really going market watch as we do go forward after today. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, as our conversation does continue today with Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners, and I know you talked funds there at the beginning, or during the first half of our program, but anything else fund-wise that we need to be thinking of as growers?
Yeah, from the fund side, the funds are positions are very important. We have to keep a close eye on them, especially this time of year. They're sitting there in an unusual position to be still basically this short across corn, soybeans, and wheat for this time of year. Normally, what we'd end up finding, Susan, is that normally we would find at this time of year, if they're this short, we'd see them starting to probably buy back that position more and quicker. And we do think that we will see that. But there is something that we need to talk about, though, and that is the fact that there's always a chance, and they haven't ever done it, but there's always a chance if we get another month down the road and they're comfortable with the weather and they're in the U.S. and also South America and they don't see anything else out there that's concerning, that they could stay this short, or, you know, maybe they buy back a little bit with the thought that as they get more comfortable that this crop is made, then they could sell it off. I don't think that's a very a high chance that that happens, meaning they hold on to this short position that they're in. But that's always, we can't rule it out. So that's one of the items that we'll have to watch. It'll be hanging out there that could add a little more risk to the market longer term down the road, Susan.
Well, you talk about moving forward with this weather, and I want to kind of look at right now, is there concerns about the planting pace? Because obviously the numbers of this week do not reflect the rains that we had on Friday into the weekend.
No, that's a very good point, because actually 27% planted on the corn side, 18% planted on the soybean side. You know, those were slightly above, probably, well, about right on, I guess, on the corn side, what the trade was expecting. But, it, you know, both of those are ahead of the five-year average. And as of right now, if you're, you know, a speculative trader in these markets, you're not concerned at all about that today. Now, what I do know is going forward, if you think about it, when we get the reports out on the planting progress reports, they come out every Monday afternoon at 3:00. when we get those reports out on the 6th, then we get them out again on the 13th, and both those reports, we're now going to slip behind pace because we're not going to get a lot done. It's interesting to as you dig into the numbers, Indiana's behind pace. Believe it or not, Nebraska is actually behind our five-year average also. And going forward, we're going to see across all, really the whole Corn Belt, we're not going to see a lot of activity this next week and probably not a whole lot the week after. So we will come in over the next 2 weeks behind. Now, I don't think that's enough to get the market real concerned. If we would then all of a sudden get out to the 20th, then I think there gets to be a lot more concern with that, and they'll start getting some flashbacks back to 2019 when we had the big amount of prevent plant. But we're not there yet. If, you know, we get a couple more weeks down the road and it still looks wet going forward, then the market will get to that point, Susan.
Kind of the opposite when we look at South America. Should there be any concerns with what's going on in this corn crop?
Yeah, actually, you're exactly right. It is just the opposite down there because it had looked like they were actually sitting in really good shape. If you think about it there for a while, we were talking about 30-35% of really that Safrina corn crop needed some additional moisture, and they'd picked up some moisture. Now the situation we're in is that actually it looks like the rainy season is ending. It looks like we're coming into a dry spell here where we're going to see the temperatures increase. The only thing we have to think about is this time of year, temperatures are cooling a little bit, but they are still looking to be above average temps and below normal in the precip. And the thing that concerns the market a little bit is there's still probably about 25, maybe 28% of that crop yet that still does need to pollinate and go through, you know, its early ear fill. So that's concerning yet. Now, on the most advanced side, as you move on up into Matagrosso, we'll start hearing in about 2 weeks, we'll start hearing harvest getting started on some of the early planted corn. And honestly, up in Matagrosso, which makes up about 42% of all their Safrina corn production, are going to have some, for the most part, some really pretty good yields. So the first yields we hear on the Safrina crop is going to be really pretty good. But overall, what we do think going forward is that we will see them talk about smaller yields yet on the Safrina crop. And that's a little bit reversed from where it would have been a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. The other thing that we do see is that Argentina corn production does still look like it's going to come down more because of basically that stunted corn disease, Susan.
So let's look at moving forward with corn and beans. What's going to be on your radar post this next couple of weeks of delayed planting because of wet fields?
Yeah, well, the first thing is we're going to be watching that very, very closely. How's the progress going? Then we're going to be watching it. What's the condition of that corn? We also are going to be watching what's going on down in South America very close to see what's going on there. And then also we should see an announcement this afternoon on sustainable aviation fuel. I think that's got the market a little bit concerned on, you know, what role is soybean oil and what role is ethanol going to play in that. That's going to be one that we're going to also watch. Keep an eye on the Israel and Hamas and Iran war, and also with Russia and Ukraine also, Susan.
All right, great discussion as always, Jeff. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
You bet. Give me a call at 402-366-4694. Check us out on the web at heartlandfarmpartners.com or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at JeffPeterson01.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell, right here on the Rural Radio Network.